Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Tupos, don'tperish.com, John 424 Radio. Hey, I was in a thrift store. I got an interesting teaching topic for you today. I was in a thrift store with Sister Amen as we're cruising through town, headed north, sharing the gospel everywhere we go. And I bought some belts. These are really plain canvas-type belts for my tunics. And it got me thinking about belts and the Bible. Yeah, they got a deep meaning. Did you know that? We're going to talk about it today. My teaching audio for today is called Belts in the Bible. How simple, huh? Belts in the Bible. So, if you didn't know this, the use of the word belt is all over the scriptures. It's also known as a girdle in the Bible, mostly known as a girdle. Starting here, God dressed his priests. Exodus 28:4. And it says, "And these are the garments which they shall make, a breastplate and an ephod and a robe and a broidered coat, a mitre and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office." So God dressed his priests up in a special way. And a belt or a girdle was part of that. So they're important enough for God to add to his priesthood. They must be important, right? So again, that word in that verse is abnet in the Hebrew. It means girdle, belt, or a waistband. That's basically what it means. Today in our world, we know them as a belt. And this word appears in Scripture about 35 times in the Old Testament and about 5 times in the New Testament. And as we take a look at some of these scriptures, we're going to see that belts, girdles, waistbands are important for various reasons. Let's talk about some of those reasons. First of all, the belt, the waist area, it's the core and the center of a person. Think about that. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. And also, the belt, the girdle, the waistband portray the truth and steadfastness, and also a readiness for war. In the Old Testament, it was physical war. In the New Testament, it's spiritual war. We're going to see that. And they were also used to physically hold together their garments. They wore, everybody wore back then, robes and tunics and big loose garments. And these belts, these girdles, these waistbands held it all together, made it firm and orderly, right? 1 Timothy 2 says neat, orderly, so your clothes aren't all blowing all around out of disorder. The belt would help hold all of your clothes together. And then here's an important one. Men would also gird up their loins. What did that mean? Well, physically, girding up your loins was you had a long tunic or a long robe and you're going to do a bunch of work that is very strenuous, or maybe you have to run or move fast. They would pull their tunic or their robe up and tuck it into their belt or their girdle. That's what physically girding up your loins was. All right? 1 Peter 1:13. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." There it's talking about girding up the loins of your mind. So there's a spiritual girding up of the loins. It's taking control of the core of who you are. Physically, you gird up your loins that way. Spiritually, we take control of who we are in Christ, right? By girding up the loins of our mind, as he says here. I think that's pretty interesting. And also, this isn't really so much biblical, but the Bible kind of hints to it, that belts were viewed as a symbol of tying the outside of a man close to the inside of a man, symboling the unity between the physical and the spiritual. And that sounds a little mystical. It's not really biblical per se. Can't put a verse on that, but cultures looked at it that way. But the Bible kind of loosely hints to that, because we see a spiritual girding of your loins, as I just talked about, and then we also see a physical girding of your loins. So there is that physical and that spiritual coming together. So those are some important practical things. Also, belts were used to carry important things like swords. Yeah. Also, tools. Also, a purse, small pouch to carry money, to carry small things. Yeah. So the belt, it's a sign of a solid core, stable in your ways, all together and firm. You know, I can tell you this. I like wearing belts. I've got some tunics that are pretty big. When I'm outside street preaching and the wind is blowing, I feel like my tunic's flopping all over the place. And I feel like I'm out of control, not in order, maybe improper at times if the wind blows the wrong way. When I fasten a belt, not too tight, but when I fasten a belt around my waist, what I find is physically, this is physical, I feel like I'm all bound together. I'm wrapped up. I'm strong. I'm secure. I'm steady. I'm ready because I don't have to worry about where my tunic's going, right? Holding the gospel sign, handing out gospel cards, talking to people. And so that's how we can be ready in the spirit. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more as we get closer to the end. So another thing I want to bring up, the belt, the center of your being, your core, ready? When I was a pagan and I was in high school, I used to be a wrestler. What a foolish waste of time, right? But I didn't know any better. And I was taught by my wrestling coach, when I would take on an opponent, you don't look at his feet, you don't look at his head, you don't look at his hands. You know what you look at to see where he's going? His waist, his belt line, his core. Wherever his belt line and his core went, that's where he was going. He could fake you with his feet, fake you with his head, fake you with his hands, but wherever the core of his being was gonna move, that's where he was going. And that's where I watched to not be deceived by him. So we can take that same note today. The core of our being, who we are in Christ, that's gonna control where we are, where we're going, what we're doing, amen? The belt, again, trying to relay this home, is a symbol of a strong center of being ready for action, physically or spiritually. Here's another really important point. Belts are also close to the loins. This is a key in man's procreation, right? Not to get too detailed here, but a man's reproductive organs and a woman's are in that area. That's where life comes from, how God created it, procreation. So everyone seemed to know this. And so the loins of a person were very important. Genesis 35:11. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee. I can't read tonight for some reason. And kings shall come out of thy loins. So they knew that that's where procreation took place. Okay. And so that's pretty interesting. Loins, you know what a loin is? Center of vigor, sense of strength, your girded area. Yeah, it's right about where the waistline, belt line, and the girdle would be. So all these things tie together, these important meanings in the Bible and in life. Let's look at some verses that talk about Christ, or this verse talks about Christ and the belt and the girdle. Ready? Isaiah 11:5. And his righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins. We were just talking about loins. And faithfulness, the girdle of his reins. See how it ties together that core of who he is, right? Righteousness, faithfulness. It's the core of who Christ is, along with something else we're going to talk about. So the belt, the girdle, the waistband, loins, powerful, powerful, deep, physical, and spiritual meanings. Let's look at some other verses, okay? Hopefully you can hear me. I'm outside and it's windy. We got a storm blowing in. Exodus 28:39. And thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen, and thou shalt make thy mitre out of fine linen, and thou shalt make the girdle of needlework. So God's given the priests the details of how he wants them to dress. Leviticus 8:7. And he put upon him the coat and girded him with the girdle and clothed him with the robe and put the ephod upon him. And he girded him with the curious girdle of the ephod and bound unto him wherewith. So God had a focus on this garment, an aspect of the garment. Here's one, ready? We talked about it, carrying swords, carrying tools. 2 Samuel 20, verse 8. And when they were at the great stone, which is in Gibeon, Amasa went before them, and Joab's garment that he had put on was girded unto him, and upon it a girdle with a sword fastened upon his loins in the sheath thereof, and as he went forth, it fell out. So proof there, they carried their sword. You didn't have a girdle or a belt on, you can't carry a sword, you're not going to be a person of strength. Hey, what's the sword in the New Testament? The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, Hebrews 4:12. So see all these connections, these archetypes that come together for us in the New Testament. How about this verse? It's talking about blood from war marked upon a girdle or belt. 1 Kings 2:5. Moreover, when thou also know, more thou knowest also what Joab the son of Zeruiah did to me, and what he did to the two captains of the hosts of Israel, unto Abner and the son of Ner, and unto Amasa the son of Jether, whom he slew, and shed the blood of war in peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins, and his shoes that were on his feet. I don't know if that was on purpose or if the blood just got spattered, but important, the blood of war there, it makes a reference to it. Now, here's a verse. Now, I can only find one verse where it has women wearing a belt or a girdle. Doesn't mean they didn't. I only found one verse. Isaiah 3:24. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, there should be a stink. And instead of a girdle, a rent. And instead of well-set hair, baldness. And instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth and burning inside of beauty. So it's like God is putting judgment upon these women. So it talks about a girdle there. And I guess if you look at history, they did wear a belt and a girdle, although it seems to be mostly a man thing, but doesn't mean women didn't wear them. How about this? The Proverbs 31 woman, she made them. She made girdles and belts. Proverbs 31:24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and deliver girdles unto the merchant. Well, it says she delivers them. I'm assuming she made them. I don't know. Thought that was interesting. This next verse infers that they're ready to make war. Why? By belts tightened fast. Remember, Old Testament is physical war, New Testament, spiritual war. We're going to get there. Isaiah 5:27. None shall be weary nor stumble among them. None shall slumber nor sleep. Neither shall the girdle of their loins be loosened, nor the latchet of their shoes be broken. They're ready. They're ready for action, all right? Soldiers have their belts on, their swords ready, their shoes laced or buckled up. They're ready for action. Now, this next area of scripture from Jeremiah, this is really interesting. God tells Jeremiah to put on a girdle, and that once it's marred, it's useless. And if we know, well, we're going to find out, that the belt and the girdle is a representation of truth and righteousness. We just learned that righteousness, and we're going to see later it's about truth. Look what this says. Jeremiah 13, 7 through 11. Then I went to Euphrates and dug and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it, because God told him to hide it. And behold, the girdle was marred, and it was profitable for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thus saith the Lord, after this manner I will mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart and walk after other gods to serve them, to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. You see how God's using this archetype of how if you don't have righteousness and truth, you're good for nothing. Yeah, we're going to see that coming up. And then, I like this verse, same chapter, Jeremiah 13, but it's verse 11. This tells how God is saying that girdle, he is going to be like the girdle one day close to Israel. Ready? Jeremiah 13, 11. For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, there's those loins again, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people and for a name and for a praise and for a glory, but they would not hear. So God is saying, like a man wears a belt or a girdle or a waistband, that's how close he wants to be to Israel, but they wouldn't have anything to do with it. So close, tight as a belt, around our core, around our loins. That's what God and his word and truth should be to us today in the spirit. Think about that. If we move to the New Testament, we see the same word used, not as often, but it's still used. The greatest man ever, John the Baptist, wore a girdle or a belt. Jesus said he was the greatest man ever. Matthew 3:4, and the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins. There's the loins again. And his meat was locusts and wild honey. Oh, John really ate some interesting things, didn't he? I like honey. I don't know about those locusts. I guess if I had to, I would. So John wore a belt and a girdle, or a belt or a girdle. Paul wore a belt or a girdle. This one kind of surprised me. I guess I never really realized this one. Acts 21:11-12. And when he was come up unto us, he took Paul's girdle, belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when he heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go to Jerusalem. So they were using Paul's belt, tying up, the guy tied himself up saying, hey, they're going to do this to you in Jerusalem. Don't go, Paul. Don't go. And Paul later said, hey, I'm ready to go and die. Doesn't matter to me. So they used a belt as that symbol there. That was interesting. Going into the book of Revelation, maybe this will surprise you. Angels have belts or girdles. Revelation 15:6. And the seven angels came out of the temple having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. That's pretty awesome to think about. Angels with golden girdles. Can't leave our Savior out of this. John the Revelator describes Jesus Christ, our Savior, Messiah, Creator, with a belt. Revelation 1:13-14. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened unto the Son of Man, that would be Christ, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps, that would be his chest, with a golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were wool, like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Wow, what a description of the Son of Man, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's pretty amazing. So I hope that gives you like a good roundabout from the Old Testament, New Testament, how girdles, belts, how they were viewed, how they were used, how they were seen. I want to give you one really, maybe the most important for us today, the belt. So important as a symbol. Look how Brother Paul uses it in the famous Ephesians 6 armor of God. Ready? Ephesians 6:14. Stand therefore. Remember I told you it's to be ready for war, to be prepared, to be bound, held together. Stand. And they, remember some people said it was a symbol of the physical and spiritual being bound together and ready. Well, we can kind of see that there, because you got to stand physically in this world, right? Even though we're standing spiritually as well. Stand therefore, having your loins, there's those loins, gird about with truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. So we see righteousness and truth coming back together. Truth. We're to be ready for spiritual war, because Paul said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We're to be ready today for spiritual war with a belt of truth on. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. If you don't have truth, you don't have a belt. If you don't have a belt, you're not bound, you're not ready, you're not brought together, you're not in control. Yeah, think about that. The truth as a belt, I like that. Truth is the very essence of who God is. Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, right? Truth is all over the Bible. Ephesians 5:9 is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, goodness, truth, and righteousness. And this truth should be at our loins, at our center, at our waist, at our core of who we are spiritually. This is talking spiritual here. Who we are spiritual, ready for service unto the Lord. We are soldiers of the Lord, ready with the truth as a belt around our waist, prepared and ready to do war with all of our weapons at hand and ready to go. So that ties it together from God equipping his priests to the loins where all of us came from, procreation, right? To walking in all of the ways of God and being ready and being prepared, being bound together, not feeling like we're loose and blown all over the place, tossed about by every wind of doctrine. I talked about my tunic. When I go out and if I have a tunic on and it's like windy and I feel like I'm like tossed about, you know, it's like your coat blown open, you know, it's all tossed about. But when you got your belt on and you fasten it, you feel like you're firm, you're ready. You're ready to stand. You're ready to do the things that you've been called to do. That can be in a physical sense. Clearly more important is in the spiritual sense. That's what we're talking about here. So I hope this paints some important images for you on the important pictures and sheds light on the meaning of belts, girdles, waistbands in the Bible so it will edify you. And you'll go deep and investigate this yourself. Now, to be clear, I'm not telling you got to wear a physical belt or a waistband or a girdle today on your tunic or your dress. You should be wearing a tunic or a dress if you're a child of God. But what you should be wearing every day is the truth, which is Christ, at your core, daily, holding on to it as the center of your being, and you're ready to do spiritual battle for his service, or you may fall. Many people fall away from the faith. Paul says there are going to be many people that are going to fall away from the faith in the last days because they're not ready. They're not walking in truth. They're not living truth. They don't have the belt of truth. They're not walking in the righteousness of God. They're not conforming themselves and girding up their loins in the ways of God. They're living sloppy, loose, not prepared for spiritual war. Ponder all that, will you? I hope that blesses you. Thanks for listening. I think that was a topic that you will not hear taught very often, but when I picked up these belts that I got them for $1.99, and they're old world canvas belts. I like them. And I can put my tracks on my belt. That would be one of the tools that I have when I go out witnessing, and it makes me ready physically. And that belt, kind of like a woman's head covering, should remind her of spiritual things. That belt reminds me of a lot of spiritual things as well. And nothing mystical about it, but it just has a lot of archetypes of how we as believers are to be walking in the truth, girded up our loins, ready for the service of the Lord, ready to do spiritual battle, that we may be close to the Lord. I really like that. I really got to ponder that. How God says, like the girdle is, so I will be close to Israel. That belt on your waist, if you've ever worn a waist, that's how close we should be to the Lord, his word, and his truth. Kind of inseparable, isn't it? Yeah. Hey, I'm going to leave right there. Check out don'tperish.com. Check out the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Repent of all your sin, the world, and false religion. And be born from above, walk in holiness and obedience, that's truth as well, and endure with that girdle, belt of truth around your waist, seeking after the righteousness of God and his kingdom till your life ends or till he comes for us. Check it out at don'tperish.com. All the resources there to help you. We are cruising down the gospel road. Love you all. Till God lets me come to you once again. Go out and have a blessed day. Obey Christ, obey the gospel, and may God be praised.